of guidance propagated of him, and also from those believers who are their followers. We have been discussing about Sahaba since Alhamdulillah we started Tafsir lessons, and inshallah we will continue to do so in a long time. Sahaba all are gentlemen. Sahaba all are loved by Allah. Sahaba all are loved by Rasulullah. And this is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala looked in the heart of mankind and chose Sahaba. He stated that Sahabas are guiding light. And wherever they pass away, on the day of Qiyamah, where everybody will be raised from the grave, Sahaba will stand up where they are buried as beacon lights, as lights, as guiding lights. However, one question comes to mind. Sometimes when we don't get a proper explanation, then we tend to have doubts. The question is very simple, that ahadith we read, the tafsir of the Quran we read, and in history books we read, that Sahaba Ikram, Nabi Allah Ta'ala, at times were punished. Islamic legal punishment they had to undergo. For example, there is a very famous incident of one Sahabi being stoned, another one concerning a lady who stole, the name was Fatima, and certain people interceded, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that if Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, had stolen, the head would be cut off. So when people read these stories and these incidents, then they say, no, we can criticize Sahaba. Why? Because they did all these things also. Now when Islamic hudud, Islamic punishment was beaten out to them, or beaten onto them, that means they were men. That is why the theory comes up, that they were men, we are men, therefore we can criticize them. So the explanation you must listen to. Our claim, Alhamdulillah, is that Islam is complete, Islam is perfect, Islam is divine, Islam is practical. Islam is practical. If Islamic punishment, Islamic law was not enforced upon Sahaba, then the world could have said, no, the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba, they live such a pure life, a chaste life, a righteous life, the Sahaba, that no Islamic law was enforced upon them, therefore we do not know the practicality of Islamic law. But because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam executed the Islamic law of them, he enforced the Islamic law of them, and there were occasions when he Islamic law was executed in front of his eyes, that we can stand up to the world and say, and see, that Islam is practical. Islam was practical in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Islamic law, Islamic punishment was enforced. If it was not enforced, the people will say that we have got no practical country where it was enforced. So Sahaba Ikram رضي الله تعالى عنهم are actually the grounds where Islamic law is enforced, that we should be proud of. That is why one person, when he went to Yemen, one of the Ubaydullah Siddiq from Tulali, on his tour to the world, he invited various leaders to Islam. That one of the Ubaydullah Siddiq from Tulali, he went to Yemen. And this incident is recorded in one book, in the forward of one book called Islamic Communism by a person who is alive at the moment. His name is Professor Hamidullah, Muhammad Hamidullah of Paris. He writes the Moran of Vedala Siddhi Rakshala went to the letter that presented Islam. And the letter told him that I accept everything that you say. I acknowledge everything that you say. But show me a practical state. Show me some way where Islam is practiced with a guru that I will trust. But we can say, Alhamdulillah, the Hudud was the first during the time of Rasulullah and Islam, during the time of the Khulafa'i Rashidin. It's important that Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, we refer to Umar the second, that in his whole life, in his Khulafa, he did not punish people. He did not whip anybody, except one person who criticized Hazrat Maliyah radiallahu ta'ala. It is reported Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came down, took the whip, and he left the flame. To criticize Hazrat Maliyah radiallahu ta'ala. Now we get various wars taking place, especially during the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and some chaos taking place in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. For example, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala was besieged. His house was surrounded. In fact, water was not provided to him for him. And there was rebellion going on. There was trouble going on. And still he did not give up his khilafah. Now when we do not study history properly, when we are not given the proper explanations, when we are not taught properly, then we get a little confused. For example, the people say that there was so much chaos going on, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, the best thing for him to do was to leave the Khilafah and go away. The problem may have been solved. But Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, who had a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that Usman will be made to wear a shirt. Don't take it off. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala, correctly interpreted this, that when he becomes Khalif, the people will try to remove this mantle from him. The people will try to tear the shirt off him. The people will try to remove him unjustly. And he stood steadfast. And for us, the Islamic political world, it has become a pattern to follow. That is why it is the unanimous opinion of the scholars that the action of the Sahaba, the sayings of the Sahaba are judgments upon us, are decisions upon us, and are proofs upon us. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala made what they did to be Tarawih salat we make in Jama'ah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gathered various persons who were making Tarawih individually in the masjid, and he said that let us come united and we make Tarawih in Jama'ah. That is why make Tarawih Salat, 80 rakat Tarawih Salat in Jama'ah. Because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, with our temporary marriage, it was according to some, not even permissible in Khaybar, but according to some others, it was permissible for a very short period in Khaybar, and then abrogated, nullified. And the law of enforcement that anybody engaging in Buddha would be punished started in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So everything with Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala did, and especially the Khulafa'i Rashidin, becomes a proof for this. That is why in the Islamic State, if there is a just ruler, a proper ruler, who is valid in his position and who is not behaving un-Islamically, and when people try to revolt against him, he must stay steadfast and must not go down to his post. Why? Because Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala actually says that he was truthful, he was just, upright, pious, righteous, and he was not doing anything contrary to Islam. He was not contravening the Islamic challenge or ordinances. Therefore, when they try to throw him out, must revolt against him unjustly, he stood fast. So everything, if we study it properly, we will see how and why it is. For example, the famous battle, is called the Jang al-Jabal, the Battle of the Camel. When Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha took part, she was mounted on the camel. That is why we call it the Battle of the Camel, the Battle of Jabal. And why she took part? So that we can explain to you why she took part, how she took part, and also then the reason for her to take part. Bhakti, we will see here, that you cannot prove a woman can become head of state from that achievement. Some people say that no, a woman can become head of state because she took part in that battle. You cannot prove that because she did not say she wanted to become head of state, she did not clamor for that, and no way it is recorded in history that she took part in that battle because she wanted to become head of state. It's what to do concerning Sahaba. Bismillah, we have discussed about the opening ayat of Surah Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Continue today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the ayat Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That all forms, every praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the Alameen. As previously explained to you, then the first portion, Alhamd, that is the claim. And Rabbil Alameen, that is the proof. Must understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us a principle that the claim came, and then immediately to substantiate that claim, to strengthen that claim, to back up that claim, the proof came. We get one proof that the one who makes the claim must bring the proof. The one who makes the claim, he brings the proof. And how will this help us? It will help us from domestic land to any part of our affairs. A person comes and reports to you anything. You first of all listen to him, that's his claim. And secondly, you will have to say, what's his proof? And if we have to follow this principle in life, then many problems won't even rise their heads. And those people who have got the habit of carrying tales, of slandering, of backbiting, and doing something which is very evil, that you take little information from me, this person, you add all your masalas, and then take it back to this person, and blow it out of proportion, then take some information from this person, and take it back to this person, and then you go around from this person to that person, by the time the story is out of proportion. And so two people are fighting because of a third person causing all the problem. And these two people at times quarrel and fight and don't talk to each other because of the third person. Why? Because this law, which is in the first ayat of the Quran, is not adhered. Immediately when such a person comes to you, or anybody comes to you and he says you something, you tell him that is the claim, you think in the mind that this is the claim of the person, he must give the proof of it. If he does not give the proof, you don't even go further with it. Especially when a person you know is out to cause trouble and problem and difficulty. And especially a person who you know that he is going to use this against you. So immediately when he says something, you look for the proof. So all our domestic problems and our small things that cause big problems will come out and will die down. And Satan won't be given an opportunity to cause difference. Suspicion will be suppressed. All forms of suspicion will be suppressed. And how it will help us in deen? Very simple. We have to be very straight about it. Once we went to one place, and the person decided to argue with us and quarrel with us, and we were in issue. And he said, you see, these you people are wrong. What I am doing is right. So what are you doing? He said, I do. As soon as someone passes away, I have 3-day khatam, and 7-day khatam, and 10-day khatam, and 40-day khatam, and I have this, and I have that, and I have that. So he applied this very same principle. So you see, my brother, this all you are doing, This is your claim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you cannot understand this. Person does not understand this principle very quickly. So you explain to him in another way, which we did. He had on his counter some fruit. So he picked up one fruit and told him, "See, who does this belong?" He said, "That belongs to me." He said, "I told you, this is your proof that this fruit belongs to you." He said, "Yes. And this is your claim, at least, that this fruit belongs to you." He said, "Yes." "So where's your fruit?" He said, "Yeah, I got it. I got it for the basket. I got a slip. I got an invoice." He said, "See, this fruit belongs to you. That is your claim. And that invoice is your proof." "You say all these other things you are doing. You are doing all the other things which we classify as innovations, which we classify not of the, which we classify as additions of the, which we classify that will earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we classify that will earn the displeasure of Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah." When you say to the innovators, "Soft, the go away," when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed Rasulullah that these are those who added after your device. So everything that you do, you must have a proof. We say, alhamdulillah, that anything that we do, we try to bring a proof from the Quran and from the Hadith. That is why we say that when you go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, small things, we try to bring proof of it. And any organization, any work that you do, anything that you do pertaining to deen, you must have some substantiation of the Quran and the Hadith for the life of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala in that way to be successful. No sooner you move away from there, you are not going to be successful, because in no other way there is good, there is barakah, there is khair and goodness. So, in our daily life, any person comes and tells you, for example, that you must go and do this regarding deen, they will tell you, "Oh, that you must, one place where one fellow is walking around the masjid. Walking around the masjid." Ask you, "Why are you doing that?" "Getting sawab." "Well, who told you getting sawab?" "So doing this thing." "Where's your proof?" "I don't know." "So my grandfather doing this, I'm doing this." Another place you go, the person, when he faces the minbar, then he goes backwards out of the masjid. "So why are you doing this?" "So I saw my grandfather doing this, that's why I'm doing this." "Why someone trip your phone?" "No, not interested." "Why?" "Because my grandfather does this, I'm doing this." Up to date, go to the Kabristan, you see the person after visiting the Kabristan, then he backtracks. Then he comes out backwards. "Why is coming out backwards?" Dead people are seeing him. The person sees back, then he doesn't go out. He's doing these things, but there is no proof of this. So everything that we do in Islam is a proof of it. So a person, once you have got this principle in mind, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating this principle, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. With all praise, this is the claim, and the proof that is coming is rabbil alameen. He is the palme wala, that is the sustainer, the nourisher, the provider, under all circumstances, from birth, from childhood, to the maximum, to perfection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rabbil alameen. So if you apply this principle, then no one can tell you that do something in Sharia which is contrary to Sharia. And we must get into this habit, and we must get into this pattern, that irrespective of who the person is, that you ask for the proof. And the sooner or later you are going to be taken for a ride, and your belief will be ambushed, and your actions will be ambushed. That is why, unfortunately, that when you get leaders, so-called Islamic leaders, they come up. Khomeini came up. In fact, when Ghulam Mirza Qadiani, when he came up, people started saying, "This is very good, very good. He was making debates with the Arya Samaj, the Hindus. He was very good." But this principle was not achieved. Then this man is making a claim with his proof. Khomeini, when he came up, the same error that was made, that the man is making his claims with his proof. Any person who is making a claim or is doing something, you have to maybe comfort that, listen, what is he doing? Is he doing it according to Islam? And when we start judging by this yardstick and this criterion, then inshallah, no one will be able to mislead. For example, when Maududi Sahib started his Jamaat-e-Islami and started saying that we must have political power and we must take control over the people by use of politics. And he said that every Nabi came on this earth to establish the kingdom of God on earth. That is the word, to establish the kingdom of God on earth. But alhamdulillah, after a little few years, he all of us started questioning him, that up to the day, his Jamaat is not able to get one seat in Parliament in the States of Pakistan. And you must know that the usul is that you must do the grassroots, the people at the grassroots level, they accept that the Iman is strong, that to enforce the law is very easy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made effort upon Iman. That is why at the time of enforcement of the Islamic law came, the people accepted it willingly. Today you cannot enforce Islamic law, or you cannot even tell the Muslims to read 5 times daily Salat in the Muslim countries, so called Muslim countries. Why? Because the Iman is not Muslim. So understand that principle and learn that principle of very well. Why all praise due to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? There are 2 types of actions. Understand this also, that one action is with cause, and one action without cause. See, with cause, that you want to build a masjid, you want to build a madrasa, or build a building, then you have good cause, that you employ someone, you get the bricks, and you see the structure coming up. You want to have harvest, crops, agriculture, farming, then you see these things taking place. Alhamdulillah, rain comes, irrigation takes place, germination of seeds takes place, then you see crops come up, all those things. You see this. You see that there is a cause, there is a result. There is action, there is a result. You can see these things. And generally, bear it attached to all these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it becomes. All these things take place and we do not see these things. We do not see the causes, alhamdulillah, we see the results. So that is why that all praise you do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He possesses those qualities which we do not possess. And He is the fountainhead of all the power, and He is the source of all the power. So remember, as I explained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees, He does not require eyes. When He hears, He does not require ears. And He is all-knowing, He knew, He knows and will know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, He was, and He will remain. Everything will get destroyed and annihilated except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this quality, this quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, sees, knowing, is move of difficulties, the mushriks of Mecca, they said no, that their idols, their godlings, and their Lat, Manat, Uzza, all they also had this concept. Understand this concept very well. That wherever, for example, Alhamdulillah comes in the Quran al-Kareem, if you read before it or after it, it refers generally to the mushriks of Mecca who held a belief that just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hearer of our du'as, the small idol also hears. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes difficulty, Habul and Shams, they also remove difficulty. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the rivers flow, they said, no, you must make a sacrifice that the Nile will flow. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes difficulties, removes problems, they got idols who do all these things, removes difficulties and problems. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the first ayat, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, to demolish this idea of the mushriks. And again, in the Quran al-Kareem, various places the word Alhamdulillah is used, so that this idea comes out completely from man, that only Allah removes difficulties. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids us, helps us. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this. And that is why we say very clearly that there is one durood that is read, a durood which the old people generally read, is called durood e taj. I don't know, many of you must have seen it or read it maybe. It's called durood e taj. If you read this durood, and read the Arabic, then it is stated there that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the remover of difficulties and calamities. Which is wrong. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's actions, if we adopt it and adhere to it, it will guide us. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم commandments as his injunctions, if we conform to it, then we will be guided. But in the time of difficulty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Badr, when there was great difficulty, did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do anything besides raise his hands and cry and plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To such an extent that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had to hold Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to not cry so much. Did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call anyone besides Allah? Called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in the well, who he called? He called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in the belly, when he was in the darkness of the belly of the fish, and in the darkness of the night, and in the darkness of the ocean, he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, the trend that is coming around, that when you are in difficulty, they try to indoctrinate you, that you must help, you must call some pious person, some righteous person, maybe he can help you. Believe you, me, my respected brothers, he cannot help himself. He needs our du'as, he needs us, and the saint is a saint. We do not deny sainthood, we do not deny the karamats of saints, the miracles of saints. We love the saints, and we appreciate their lives and admire them, but we cannot fall. We cannot fall them because they cannot remove our difficulties. Allah is the only one who can remove our difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can help us when we are in trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the remover of difficulties because He is the one who can hear these things. And the mushriks of Mecca, said, no, besides Allah there is someone else. Abul, Shams, Salat, Manat, Uzza. And know one thing, that this Lat, Manat, Uzza, all these idols which were prevalent, Abul Shams, Naila, all these which were prevalent in the Meccan period, they were pious people. They were idols of the pious people. They were righteous people who passed away. And then the people said, we must remember them, and they constructed idols. So remember, through the door of righteous pious people, through the door of saintly people, kufr and shirk and ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes about. And that is the easiest method. Why? Because they sort of express that the person feels. So righteous people, pious people and good people, when they say, I must have a photograph of him, and I must have a portrait of him, and then his portrait becomes such that I must now touch him. And that is why, unfortunately, when you go to certain people's homes, they say we are Muslims, they propagate we are Muslims, and we go and see big photographs there. As a massive size photograph, life size photographs. Unfortunately, some places you go, you see those things are garlic. And I've seen this personally, that some places where you go, the person before going to work, then he comes to a certain grave and he comes and touches it, and then he goes to work. He says, must touch this, so I'll get some blessing. And then before he goes to work, then he comes, just as what the Hindus do, he comes and he stands before the portrait of the person or the photograph of this garland person, and then he comes there and he pleads to this person and then goes to work. And when he comes back and greets this person, the person cannot see, he cannot hear. He is the one who is mutaj, who is dependent. He cannot do anything. And must know these things. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about our belief. And that is why you see the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that starting the Surah Fatiha was Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, to demolish all false beliefs, to annihilate every form of wrong belief, because belief is of utmost importance. And you must understand this, make your families understand, and make your friends understand that belief is the most important. The belief in Islam is like the foundation, and the whole of Islam is on that foundation. Said it this way, you have a non-Muslim, and you have a non-Muslim sometimes who is generous. He builds a hospital, or he builds a clinic, or he does a charitable work. Our belief is that he will be rewarded in this earth. How will he be rewarded? Because the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that for the non-Muslim, this world is like a garden. And for the Muslim, this world is like a jail. The person who is a non-Muslim, no matter how much good does he do, he will be rewarded in this world. But in the hereafter, why will he be put into Jahannam? Because he hasn't got his belief right. He hasn't got his aqeedah right. He hasn't got the fundamentals right. And these fundamentals differentiate the day of judgment, who will go to Jannat or who will go to Jahannam. That is why it is our belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat that a person who is a sinner, a Muslim, who is a sinner, he can be a flagrant transgressor, he can be non-practical, he will go to Jahannam for purging, for cleansing. And then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him into Jannah. But a person who is a non-Muslim, no matter how good work he does on the day of judgment, because he hasn't got the correct belief, then he will not be able to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be sent to the eternal fire.